This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Back to another live show on The People Speak. Tonight is Tuesday, December 27th, and I'm your host, Sophia Ray. Join us every Tuesday for live interview-style talk radio. The People Speak invites audience participation by calling in questions or comments for our guests, toll-free in the USA and Canada at 1-888-429-5471. For more information on upcoming shows and guests, log on to bbsradio.com/thepeoplespeak. Tonight's guest is LaDonna Brable Allard from Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, who resides in Fort Yates, North Dakota. She is a tribal tourism coordinator for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and marketing manager for the Alliance of Tribal Tourism Advocates. She is the founder of Sacred Rock Camp, just one of the few camps hosting water protectors. She is shrouded by stories and prophecies of her land and ancestors. LaDonna Brable, it's an honor to have you with us tonight. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'm LaDonna Brable Allard. My real name is Tamakawa Stewi, her good earth woman. I'm an enrolled member of Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and founder of Sacred Stone Camp. We've been on the ground 8 months and 27 days to stand up to protect the water against Dakota Access Pipeline.
Is there still a media blackout in the camp areas?
Did you hear the news today?
I have not. Can you share with us?
Okay, there's still a media blackout. Today in an area, the people went out to pray. Morton County Sheriff and Dakota Access vigilante groups came over, arrested the people who were in ceremony and prayer, and took them to jail. So we had five arrested today. Then they fired five rounds of rubber bullets at the people.
So they're still using weapons against the people, and not especially when the water protectors are nonviolent.
Yes. They did threaten the water cannons, but they did not use them. We are about 0 degrees here.
And are they trying to make everyone vacate from the lands right now? And is anybody going anywhere? Who is staying?
So there is different jurisdictions with the camp. So Sacred Stone is on the reservation and on private land, my own land. The Rosebud Camp is on the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and Army Corps land. It is only Oshete Shakoin, the large camp, who is in Army Corps land and in Morton County. So each of the three camps have different jurisdictions. They were trying to make Oshete Shakoin camp move, but they have no jurisdiction over federal land, so they cannot. They have made various threats in the newspaper and stuff, but they have no legal jurisdiction to do that. So nobody has left and nobody is moving.
Now, in the news, they said that the pipeline was being rerouted. Is that true?
No, the pipeline is not being rerouted. Dakota Access continues to work even as we speak.
And why is the media, the mainstream media, saying that the pipeline is being rerouted? What's the purpose of that?
I have no idea about American mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a lion taking a bunch of sheep around. They say what they want to say, even if it isn't true.
I have witnessed that firsthand myself. That the media often does that. If you're now tuning in to The People Speak, this is your host, Sophia Ray, and we are live with LaDonna Brable Allard, and she is live from North Dakota. You are currently in the middle of what's going on, and you're side by side with the water protectors. Can you explain to our listeners out here, what have you witnessed firsthand account? What should the people know? What's going on there?
So, like I said, we have been here since April 1st. We first started the camp. We started the camp originally as a prayer camp to do nonviolent civil disobedience against injustice to stop a pipeline that should never, ever cross the water. Because as Native people, our first and foremost is to protect the water. And if we allow this pipeline to cross the Missouri River, it will inundate people's water, millions of people's water. Just this one pipeline.
The pipeline was rerouted from Bismarck, North Dakota, and it was put in the harm's way of indigenous peoples. And the Missouri River is the main river where indigenous tribes get their water, their fresh water drinking. Now, this hits, you know, a personal thing with you, because graves were excavated, correct? And you have a son that was buried on sacred land, is that correct?
So, in 2014, when they came and informed me they were going to build a pipeline next to my land, The first thing I thought was, who would build a pipeline next to my son's grave? But it's not only my son. My father lays there, my aunts, my cousins, my nephews. But, you know, as a mother, you're going to think of your son first. We buried them on top of the hill so they can always be a part of the mouth of the Missouri and Cannibal River, so they can always be a part of that beauty. Who has a right to take that away from me? So, on the opposite side of this amazing, beautiful river that I love is a Mandan village, a Rikra village, Ihungtua villages, Pawnee villages, and Cheyenne villages. And through this whole area are burial sites, traditional cultural properties, sacred sites, and ceremonial sites that are continued to be used every day. And the most amazing about this area is we are the eagle releasing site. So if any eagle is wounded in North Dakota, they bring him to the mouth of the Cannonball and release him back into the wild. So we are the major eagle nesting areas. And as long as I can remember, we could look out our window and we could always see our relatives, the buffalo, which have now been removed by Dakota Access. The area is beautiful. Since Dakota Access started, they have dug up 380 cultural sites, burial sites, ceremonial sites, and traditional cultural properties of our nation. Who does that? It is in their EA, their environmental assessment. The tribe has asked and will continue to ask only if Dakota Access would follow the law. We did not create the law, but we're asking them to follow the law, to follow the federal laws, to follow the state laws. Because when you do impact like they are doing, you should have a full environmental impact statement. They did not. And so that is what we've been asking since the beginning.
Can you tell our listeners, what are the traditional old laws that the people are following?
Our traditional laws start with our boundaries. Our boundaries are from the Heart River to the Platte River. The Heart River begins in Mandan, North Dakota, and goes all the way to middle of Nebraska, to the Bighorn Mountains, to the Missouri River. That is our homelands. According to 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty, that is our land boundaries. We made an agreement with the United States that this would remain our land boundaries. Dakota Access right in the middle of this. And then on top of it, the Army Corps of Engineers came with the Picks Loan in 1948, and they took our land as flooded land. It's called taken land today, which is still our land, which is now where Oshetesha Cohen sits on, where Rosebud Camp sits on. And this taken land still belongs to us. There is a lot of land jurisdictions that have not been resolved by the United States in the middle of this issue. And then you cross the east side of the area, and that's Docket 74A, the unresolved land claims of the Yanktene. That the United States has never, never finished resolving. As indigenous people, it's time for us to stand up. It's time, and it's prophecy that we will stand now. So when we first started the camp, the idea was to train people on how to do nonviolent resistance. And so we did that. Our camp started with three people, Joy Brown, Joseph White Eyes, Jocelyn Charger, and expanded from the middle of April till almost July, 15 to 20 people. Honor the Earth came in to support us and help us establish the camp, and then Environmental Network came in to help us. And then in July, we got the notice, the 48-hour notice, that Dakota Access would begin construction, even though they did not have the permit. And so I sat in my room thinking, what do I do? So I picked up my phone and made a video asking people to come help us. Never in my mind would I imagine what had happened. I was talking to my friend Auntie Puya in Hawaii, who stands for the mountain, and she said, I remember that discussion when you said you would be happy if 40 people came. I was so shocked when thousands came, when the world came to stand with us. Every country, every indigenous people across the world have come to stand with us. The Samis, the Mongolians, the Maoris, the Aboriginals, the people of Africa, the people of India, all of the countries have came to stand with us. And as I watched all of this happen, I watched prophecy happening, as the eagle and condor came together, because when that happens, we can heal a nation. So the Amazon came, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Mexico, they all came to stand with us. Then our relatives in Canada, they all came from all of Canada to stand with us. And the people in Greenland, Norway, Sweden, so many. And everybody brought their flags to stand with us. And when we looked up, there were thousands of people standing with us. Things changed drastically by September 3rd. Amy Goodman had come to talk to me as I talked about our history and our culture and the events of the White Stone Massacre that happened September 3rd, 1864, where my grandmother, who was 9 years old at that time, was shot in the hip and left on the massacre field until the soldiers found her and put her on a buckboard and took her to the prisoner of war camps. And so I was telling her this story about my family. And I got a phone call, and they said, LaDonna, the bulldozers are here. They're digging up the graves. And so I said in the phone, stop them. And he said, the men don't know what to do. So I said, push them out of the way and call the women and children. And I hung up the phone, and I looked at Amy, and I said, I gotta go. I'm sorry. And she said, I'm following you. To this day, I give thanks every day for Amy Goodman because she followed me. we got up to the middle of the events that were happening, and they just got through spraying pepper spray, this long line of women and children. And they put the dogs out, and there was a woman sicking her dog on people, and there was a man standing next to me. It's a great big gray-headed pit bull. And I was standing there watching this as women and children were crying and people were screaming. And I thought, where am I? Is this America? And then, so I go back to 3 days before that, when the landowner called one of our people, Mr. Mintz, to come out and identify the sacred sites and the burials. And he went out and he marked each one of them, drew them out, and he submitted them to the judge. And the judge gave them to Dakota Access. And Dakota Access stopped where they were working 20 miles away and brought the bulldozers and dug up the sites. Who does things like that? Then from that point on, Morton County, Dakota Access, and their mercenaries started a very violent reaction to us. After September 3rd, it became the rubber bullets, the beanbag guns, the water cannons, the mace, the pepper spray. And I watched our people stand there in prayer and song, singing while they shot them. So we have the young man from Maine who was shot with a rubber bullet. It shattered all his knuckles in his hand. He has now had to have reconstructive surgery. He might not use his hand again. The young woman who was shot in the eye and lost her eye. The young woman who was shot with a grenade and blew her arm open, and yes, it was a grenade. They were shooting us with percussion grenades. The young man who was shot with a Jaeger bullet and it fractured his leg. And 2 days later, he was in a boat that Dakota Access flipped over in the ice water, and he suffered from hypothermia and almost died. We were able to get him, as he went into shock, to revive him. Where are we? I ask this again. Is this America? And then we have the governor of North Dakota who is saying, go ahead, it's okay to shoot those Indians. Please, you farmers and ranchers, take up guns against them. Then they forbid people who are bringing supplies to the camp. They will fine them if they're caught bringing supplies. They forbid the businesses to sell to us. What country do we live in? Then they started targeting all the press and arresting the press. And then next they targeted all our medics and doctors and nurses. I don't know, but I thought America was part of something called Geneva Convention. So then what do? There is nowhere to turn. So I went to the United Nations along with the chairman, Dave Archambault, who went to Geneva, and I went to New York, and we both spoke at the UN asking for help. And the UN came on the ground and recorded. ACLU came to record, and Amnesty International came to record, because we wanted to make sure people understood that this is what is happening in America. people tell us. But what do you think about all this? This is how we've lived always in America as Native people. What is happening here when you stand up to a $1 billion corporation? What is happening here when a corporation controls the state, the police, and the National Guard? What is happening when your basic common sense says we must save the water? I'm asking the world, what is happening here? On the other hand, what is happening in the camps are amazing. Everybody who comes into the camps never want to leave. And everybody who does leave guarantees that they will be back. There's an ultimate healing that's coming right out of the ground for everybody. As we watch people come from all over the world, all kinds of culture, histories, and backgrounds to come stand with us, we see an amazing healing. When all the tribal nations, even our enemy tribes, have come to stand with us, when all the tribes of South America and Canada and Middle America have all come to stand with us, something is happening here. So 2 days after Dakota Access had came and dug up the graves, the people gathered in a big circle to pray for all of those people that were resting there. And as I walked off the ground, I watched all these people and the people at the entrance who were smudging and praying for the people were the Aztecs. And the people who were leading the prayer were the Lakotas. And I thought, oh my, the eagle and condor is right before my eyes. And the whole movement, because this movement was not started by me, this movement was started by the young people. It started with a girl named Bobby Jean Three Legs, who all she could think of was to run when she had a dream and her daughter asked for a cup of water. And she said, what would happen if I cannot give her no water? And she started running, and she created the first run to Wakpala. And then from there, she ran to the first meeting with the Army Corps. Then she ran to the beginning of the camp. And then she ran to Omaha. And every time she ran, all the young people joined her. And then she ran to Washington, D.C. to bring the message to the world. And so that is the prophecy of the seventh generation as they stand up to heal the hoop. It is these young people who carry our message. It is this young people who taught us one thing. They taught us many things, but the biggest thing they taught us is social media. They understood Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They understand how to talk to the world. And they sent our message to the world. How cool is that? As I watched the nation come together, as I watched the people come together, I think in Labor Day weekend, we were 10,000 on the ground. In November on Thanksgiving, we're 15,000 on the ground. That is something. As the camps are very fluid and have their own autonomy, I look at them. I look at all the people from all the nations that are coming to stand with us. Because this is not an indigenous movement. This is a people's movement. And being a people's movement, what is the outcome? What is the future? And so I looked at these and I looked at all the people in the camps. I looked at the people who've come from all over And one thing I learned was we have to learn to live with the earth again. We have to learn to respect the earth. And so from there grew an idea of creating a permanent camp that would teach green energy, solar, wind, and thermal energy. How do we live with the earth again? So we're hoping by June of 2017 to have a fully operational camp for the world to teach them how to live with the earth again, to teach them how important green energy is, to change that mind thought from fossil fuel to green energy for the earth. I know I talk a lot, sorry.
No, I cannot interrupt you. Everything you're saying is inspirational. It's moving. It's powerful. I'm crying. Seriously, this is... Don't stop. LaDonna, I can't express how powerful you sound right now. And our listeners, they're moved by your wisdom.
It is not my wisdom, it's the people. This
the
movement
people
is
done, the
people. When I go out there and I see this grandma standing out there on the front line praying, I think, what an amazing warrior. When I see these young people out there giving everything, how do you stand in the face of somebody shooting you and hurting you, and you're still praying? How do you do that? With strength? With bravery? With courage? I have seen some amazing things. The whole thing about the camps, as we go, if you go in there and you talk to them and you say, do you think you were going to win? And all of us say, we already have. We already have. Because that winning is healing the inside of us as Indigenous people. It's healing the earth. It's healing the water. And now as I talk at this very moment, there are camps starting in almost every state that has a pipeline. Everywhere where there is water that is in trouble, people are standing up. That is amazing. So we have already won. We have learned a lot. I have watched as people gathered in front of the Martin County courthouse when Amy Goodman was going to court, and I looked at all the people standing out there, and I said, oh my, that guy's an engineer, that guy's a doctor, that guy's a politician. We are a whole different entity standing up than we were 50 years ago. We now understand. And when all of our military came to stand with us, because as you know, we have the highest military enlistees of any other people in the United States. So we have the best trained military people. Our people are Navy SEALs and Special Forces. First in combat, in battle. And they have come to protect us. I was laughing and probably being a little sarcastic, but I said, remember when we went up to the front lines and the Morton County would be cussing at us, telling us to get back, saying obscene things to women? And when the military came and stood with us, they were saying, could you please move back? Their whole attitude changed. So we were thankful for the military. A lot of things have happened. One of the things that happened was our chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe had sent out a message for asking people to go home. And the worry was because of our winters here. So a lot of people who were not prepared for winters have left, but we're still about 2,000 on the ground, people who understand winter. We just came from a major blizzard that shut down the whole state, and people at the camp are doing just fine. They are warm because they now have that sense of community. How does the community work together? We share everything. We live with the earth again. Everybody who's at the camp, you walk in the camp and you see the people riding by on horseback, and you see the children playing, and somebody is singing over here, and there is laughter everywhere. That is what the camp is like. There is a whole healing going on. I can drive down as I cross the bridge and look across the river, and I see people praying at the river from all different nations, all different times of the day. Is that amazing? The women, because you know the water is female, and it is the women's right to stand up to protect the water, because it's through water that we bring life into this world. It's through water that we feed our families to keep them alive. It is through water every living thing lives. And so as women bring life into this world, it is our responsibility to protect the water. And so I was in a gathering of all the women, and they said, we need to go to the river to pray. And I thought, okay, that would be good. And I was thinking, well, you know, how about 5 o'clock in the afternoon? The women said, no, we must do it before the sun comes up. We will all meet at 4:30 in the morning. So I was like, okay. So we got out to the river, and I happened to meet Faith Spotted Eagle. And so me and her walked down because it was so black you couldn't see. And she said, well, maybe we're the only ones here. So we went down and we offered our prayers and our offerings to the river. And just like that, you can hear somebody singing down the river and another person singing and another person singing. And this canoe of women came down the river, singing down the river. And she said the whole shores on both sides were filled with women. That was amazing. Every day there is something happening. Yes, we did get an influx of media. They did all come in at once, especially after a lot of the violence happened. And then they all left. We are very proud of our local native media who's on the ground, our drone people who continue to keep us updated on what's happening. But we don't have the large media press out there. And so like today when the people went up to the prey and they were arrested, it is only us that know that. And so we're trying to figure out mechanisms to get this out to the world. What is happening here? As we've had the governor and the police telling people they can't donate to the camp, turning our wood away, turning life support away. There are no emergency services there. We are not allowed ambulances, snow plows, any of these things. They even took the bathrooms away. But we've preserved. Because the people are strong.
Let me take this moment to cut into a break, and when we come back, we'll hear more from LaDonna Brable Allard. Stay tuned.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
We are back from break on The People Speak. I am Sophia Ray, your host, and we are live here with the Donna Brable Allard. Very inspirational first half, very motivating. I'm taken for words. Take it away from here, LaDonna.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, when in this gathering, this healing, whatever people want to determine it, I am nothing more in this whole thing than a grandma. And there are many, many leaders, like the young people who stood up. Even the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, even as other tribal leaders have came to stand up, there are many people who are important in this fight. But what I see is the amazing warriors in the front. They are the ones that I honor. I have watched young men come and stand up against all these diversities. And young women, this young woman said, I stood there as they shot the water cannons at me. And it was cold, but if I moved, I could not tell the crowd who and when they were going to shoot another grenade, and I couldn't leave because I didn't want anybody hurt. So I stayed there as they continued to shoot me full of water. She said, and as I walked, my dress creaked because it was all ice. And I think about her, and I think about what she sacrificed on that day and the many others, because I don't see one of them saying, I quit and I'm going home. They are saying, this is my home now. They are going to help other people to protect the water. One of the amazing things that I have witnessed with my own eyes is people bringing water from all over the world to pray and to put in our water, to gather all the water so that it can heal each other. when everybody first came to stand up, the first thing they said was, we are not protesters. We are not protesting. We are only protecting the water. Miniwachoni, water of life. Why do we say that? You know, in our culture, we take those 4 days and we go without food and water. On the third day with no water, you start dreaming of the water. By the morning of the fourth day, your body starts shutting down because it needs that water. It reminds us every year how important the water is. And I think every human being should do that, because water is life. And it is a more precious commodity than oil. You cannot drink oil. You cannot give birth in oil. You cannot cook for your family in oil. I have changed a whole lot in my thinking, because I tell people I was never an activist. I was only a mom and a grandma when this all started. And I am still a mom and a grandma. And as the camps expanded, my children all came to join me. My grandchildren and my family, because water is the essence of everything. So I know that people probably want to know more about the legal and the fight, but I've been leaving that up to our government officials, the tribe, the lawyers, and right now they are fighting very hard. But I am on the people's level. And we will continue to stand in prayer. And we will continue to stand for the water. And we will stand for the water of the world. It is not no more about Standing Rock. It is about the world. It's how do we change our mind thought from fossil fuel to green energy? How do we learn to live with the earth again? How do we learn to live with ourselves again? How do we learn to live with the community again? I see that with the downfall of an empire, the first thing that happens is the abuse of women. And when the abuse of women happens, so does the abuse of the earth. And so we must change that thought to respect the women, to respect the earth, because the earth is female. But anyways, there anything you want to know? I really talk a lot. I come from a long line of big mouth women.
I appreciate that you talk a lot, because everything I'm hearing is what needs to be heard. And anything I was going to ask, you have already answered. I was going to ask you to talk about the prophecies that were told from hundreds of years ago that are coming true, and you took that right from me. But there was something I did want to know. You do come from Sitting Bull's people. Is that correct?
I am from his people. I'm part of my family. On my mother's side, I am Hunkpapa, Sihasapa, and Oguala Lakota. On my father's side, I am Ihunktuwa, Pabasga, and Sisseton, Dakota. So I'm a mix. I'm Dakota Lakota.
For those who are listening, this is The People Speak. I am Sophia Ray. We are live with LaDonna Brable-Allard. If you have any questions you may call in at 1-888-429-5471. Again, 1-888-429-5471. I'm sure she's willing to take anyone's questions. You know, you have said a lot of wise things, a lot of wise words coming from you. You know, if President Obama or President-elect Trump could hear you tonight, what do you want the message? What do you really want to hit their heart with?
First, to President Obama, please stand by your word. You came to my home. You came and stood among us. Come help us. To President-elect Trump, to understand Indigenous people have always been here. We are here to help you. We are here to protect the earth. We need people to hear our words, because we don't want any harm to anybody. We only want goodness. We have always had a very stressed relationship with the American government. How do we repair that? How do we heal? Maybe it's just sitting down and listening to each other. I don't have any good thing or bad thing to say about the upcoming new president, because to us and the American system, it has always been the same for Indigenous people. We must learn how to work with each group that comes in. Some are more stressful than others, but we are Indigenous to this land. And this one issue that's happening now is, as my husband would say, it woke a sleeping giant, and we will not go to sleep again. We will stand arm in arm from the tip of Argentina to the tip of Alaska and Canada. We will stand.
LaDonna, we have a caller on the line. Would you like to take in the call?
Okay.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, LaDonna. This is Mike in California, and I've been listening to you, and we've had many guests on the People Speak, and but boy, I don't think I've heard anyone as articulate and as soulful as you in a long time, if at all. My question for you is anyone video documenting what's going on up there? Because, you know, I think it would help if there was a documentary or a film even about this to get it out to the rest of the world. I know you have people who put things on YouTube, et cetera, but a full comprehensive documentary would be nice. And, I would like to see, especially the celebs. You have had Hollywood celebrities over there, right? I mean, some of them
Many.
Need to. Who has been out there?
Let's see. Oh, the great Taboo. Jane Fonda, the great Joan Baez. Neil Young, Shailene Woodley, Israel Miller, Mark
Madonna,
Ruffalo.
Did you invite him over to the house? Did you invite him over to your house?
Well,
you should invite. Yeah.
Most of them have came here, except, and most of them came to the camp.
Yeah. What needs to be done is they need to make more than just a one-time appearance and go home to their Hollywood lives. You know, there needs to be an investment. Because I've been through this so many times where the celebrities get involved and they're there, then they're gone, and they move on to the next thing. I think that this is an unprecedented historical event. That's more than just a one-shot thing. Like you said when you discussed the legend of the black snake, it may lead to something international, something that might actually save ourselves from ourselves.
I think it already have. So, like, Shailene Woodley, she is on the ground with us. She lives at the camp periodically. The others come and go, but she has been with us since June. Other musicians and actors that come in, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, there's been so many people that have come that are doing things to help us. Patricia Arquette, they are helping us develop our solar energy programs, our yurt villages, the thermal energy, and so they are actually on the ground helping with different projects.
Are trying to establish a permanent city or community there.
Yes.
Excellent.
And I think Jane and Imran, the defund DAPL program, which is going across the United States and the world.
Can
as people pull out their funds from the banks that sponsor Dakota Access.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the DAPL program?
The defund DAPL?
Mm-hmm.
We have started a campaign asking people to pull their funds from the banks that fund Dakota Access and Energy Partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't remember what the last quote was. 42 million have been pulled from personal accounts across the nation. I think the city of Seattle pulled out, I can't even remember how many billions. And I believe Portland will also be doing the same. And the international banks are pulling out from the banks that support DAPL.
You know, we're coming to the close of our show here in just a few minutes. Any last words that you want to pour out to our listeners?
Many last words. We have just begun. First and foremost, for the world and everybody, stand for your water. Wherever you are, go to your water, protect it, because the water is the essence of life. If there is anything happening in your community, stand up for it. Because right now, it is our time and place to change world thought, to make lives better for our children and grandchildren, to stop the corporate takeover of our nation, to make the people become empowered again, to make the people who empower their lives for their children and grandchildren so that we can leave a better world for them. Because we must always think about the 7 generations in the future, everything we do. So we must leave a better world than what we have now to change world thought. Stand up for the water. That is what I have to say.
LaDonna, you provided a beautiful show for us all tonight. I can't thank you. I can't express my thanks to you as I would like to. Please join us next Tuesday with our guest, Brock Williams, to talk tech on cybersecurity awareness. Again, LaDonna Brable-Allard tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners. Big thanks to our engineer, Don Newsom, our producer, Mike Kim. Let us stand through love and light for water. Be good to one another. Good night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.